Well, people today are singing the praises of Father John E. Brooks, the man who led the effort to bring black students and also women to then the mostly white, all-male Holy Cross College in the late 60s and early 70s. He died on Monday in Worcester, Massachusetts at 88. Ted Wells was one of the first black men who answered Father Brooks' call in 1968. He later became a prominent lawyer and represented Skrouta Libby in the Valerie Plame case. Wells tells the Boston Globe that everyone, black and white, men and women, loved Father Brooks. Jane Sullivan Roberts, now a law firm partner married to Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts, was part of the first class of women admitted to Holy Cross in 1972. She tells the Globe that what he did was a brave and far-sighted thing to do. Another Holy Cross grad, MSNBC host Chris Matthews, says Father Brooks took his school and made it better. The assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King in 1968 inspired Father Brooks to recruit those first young black men to the campus, among them now Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and Edward Jones, who would win a Pulitzer Prize in fiction. There was also Stan Grayson, who played on the Holy Cross basketball team and went on to become New York City's finance commissioner. Earlier this year, we spoke with Stan and also Diane Brady, who tells the whole story in her book Fraternity. I asked Stan to talk about that time, racially charged, also the Vietnam War. So what was it like to be sort of pole vaulted into this almost totally white environment?
People were confused, troubled, angry. When I got to Holy Cross, I think it was really also trying to find its way. You know, I think the one thing that time did, it brought a bunch of black students together who were from, by and large, urban America, who had kind of had similar experiences, struggling to kind of make sense of what was going on socially, politically, and the like. And in that core group, there was a lot of comfort because we were together and were able to commiserate, discuss, share visions, conclusions. So it was a strange time, but you know, you sort of had a lot of help getting through those strange times.
Especially since you landed in Worcester, Massachusetts. Now, it's got beautiful campuses. It's in an area where there's a lot of fading mill towns, and at that time, not a lot of black faces.
Not a lot of minority faces, period.
Yeah. So, Stan, take us through this. You arrived. Now, you had gone to a largely white school in Detroit where, you know, you just won the state championship, I think, with your high school team. So it could be said that you were maybe more comfortable than some of your friends around white students. But just what was the feel like when you first got to campus?
Well, when I first got to campus, you know, I think a natural reaction is who that looks like me is also here. Back then, we ate family style, which is very interesting, that we would all go to the dining hall and sit down and be served and eat together, which I think created an opportunity after we met a few of us black students to kind of say, what time are you going to dinner, and sit down and have that hour and a half together once or twice a day to sit and chat.
What starts to happen is that many of the black students self-segregate. They want to sit together to eat. They form a black student union. Some of them want to live together on a corridor. It would be called the Black Corridor. And this became very controversial. And wait a second, the whole idea was to create this diversity. And now, you know, there's a movement to sort of segregate.
You're absolutely right. But I would say you have to go back to the times.
Right.
And the one thing that I will say that I think allowed me to successfully navigate Holy Cross was having the Black Corridor. My sophomore year, Father Brooks agreed that we could live together, even though we called it a Black Corridor. But my roommate and half of the folks on the floor were, in fact, white.
Right.
But it still created a focal point on campus where it was like a safe haven for us all.
So, Dan, I think it's time that, you know, that we've set a little of this scene, that we talk a little bit about Father Brooks, the man who was on this mission to recruit black students, inspired, you know, by the life of Martin Luther King, and then determined to do something in response to his death. Who was this man?
He's a very strong personality, and it was striking that a lot of the people I talked to who knew him, that was very clear that what John Brooks wanted, John Brooks pretty much went and got, and I should say Father Brooks. But he is very much, I think, a dominant personality. And took it upon himself to not only say, okay, if we're going to do this, let's get it done, but where's the money? And at this juncture, to sit down in a restaurant and, in some cases, personally choose men and simply work around the process, the admissions process. It was Father Brooks that picked them. It was not the usual admissions committee.
The thing that I most appreciated about him was not just his interest in me as an athlete, but he was always concerned about you, the person. You know, I can't tell you the times he would say, I know all that, I read all that, but what do you think? And so he was the kind of guy who taught many of us how to think, I think, by asking probing questions and constantly reminding us when we needed to be reminded why we were in college, and that was to get an education.
And I think that's important because, you know, one thing, there was a big divide. People talk about affirmative action, but there was never any sense that the academic standards would be bent. There was no special concessions, correct me if I'm wrong, Stan.
No,
it
correct.
Was you did the essays, you got the marks, you either got it or you didn't. Where there were concessions was on the social front.
But, you know, Father Brooks didn't always agree with that. He agonized over the Black Corridor, although he went along with it. And there was another time, Stan Grayson, when you know, some of the students pushed to get the lyrics to the school song changed.
That was you, Stan.
Yes,
that was, yeah. You apparently winced every time you heard it. Do you even remember it now?
Oh, I do. Old Mamie Riley. Where'd you get that hat? Down in Old Kentucky from Old Black Joe were the words to the song.
Well, and Brooks had sung it lustily. You know, people loved the song. What did it mean to you?
It showed a lack of sensitivity is what it meant to me, and I think to the extent that you've got a growing Black population on campus, it just seemed inappropriate.
There was some debate. He insisted that this was a tradition. But to you, again, it was what? A throwback to slavery, Jim Crow?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And
to his credit, he, you know, notwithstanding his initial reaction, he listened to the arguments and concluded, tradition or not, that Holy Cross is bigger than that. I think that's one of the things that, you know, many of my colleagues think is special about Holy Cross, yeah. That, you know, they're able to recognize right from wrong and acknowledge, frankly, when things aren't exactly right or what they could be or should be.
That's Stan Grayson talking about Father John Brooks, then a young white Jesuit priest who recruited Stan and other Black students to the mostly white Holy Cross College in Worcester, Massachusetts in 1968. Father Brooks died on Monday at 88. His is a story that gives us a lens on a certain time, and author Diane Brady tells that story in her book, Fraternity. We spoke with her and Stan Grayson when that book came out. After a break, it's 1969. Black students involved in an anti-war protest at Holy Cross say they're singled out for punishment. They threaten to quit school, but Father Brooks intervenes. That story and more in 1 minute, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Today on Here and Now, we're remembering Father John Brooks, who led the effort to integrate the mostly white and all-male Holy Cross College here in Worcester, Massachusetts, in the late 60s and 70s. He died on Monday at 88. All manner of voices are singing his praises. Basketball legend and Holy Cross graduate Bob Cousy tells the Boston Globe, no one else at the school had a bigger impact or a longer-lasting legacy. Ted Wells, one of the Black students recruited by Father Brooks, who went on to be a prominent attorney, says, everyone loved him, regardless of race. Well, earlier this year, we spoke with Stan Grayson, who was also part of that first Holy Cross class of Black men. And we also spoke with Diane Brady, author of a book that tells this story. It's called Fraternity. Grayson was a star basketball player on the Holy Cross team. And I asked him to tell us about an incident that Father Brooks played a big role in. It was 1969. The Vietnam War is on. Black and white students are trying to boycott to prevent the big defense contractor GE from recruiting on campus. Students were identified from photos and suspended, but the Black students said they were identified disproportionately because there were so few of them, they were easier to ID than the whites. So the Black students called for a walkout.
This is my sophomore year when this happened, and early on in the basketball season, and I was in New York playing my first varsity game. When I got back to campus, the lights were all on the campus, and Ted Wells met me at the bus and explained to me what happened. And, you know, I think like most of the students, thought about it, spoke to my mom and dad, told them what had happened, told them what my view was, that I thought if the black students were going to leave, that I was also going to leave.
And we should say they decided to have a walkout in protest.
That's exactly right.
And the walkout is quitting school. It wasn't simply just...
Right.
Well, Stan, you could have, all of you, as I was reading this, I was thinking, you're about to throw away these college educations.
I will tell you, there were a number of my hallmates, roommates, who came to me and said, listen, you're playing basketball. The season's just started. If you want to stay, we understand, you know. So I think when I decided to leave, many of my colleagues said, if Stan's going and risking what we think is a very bright future for him, then we're going as well.
Well, you held a dramatic press conference, threw down your IDs, walked out, Father Brooks passing some money to you as you left. The student body threatened a boycott in support of the black students. The local papers editorialized against you. Father Brooks arranged a debate. It became heated, but it convinced the then president, the Reverend Raymond Swords, to lift all the suspensions. Very powerful story. But Stan, fast forward to 1972. Father Brooks is now Holy Cross president himself. And you and the black students take over a building, protesting for more black faculty and courses. Father, President Brooks, asks you to leave, saying he'll personally look into the charges. Now, everyone did leave. Do you think this was only possible because of the trust that had been built up between the students and Father Brooks?
I think absolutely. I think there was always a sense that Father Brooks was a man of his word. You know, I think at that time, leading up to this building takeover, there was just growing frustration that, you know, there were a lot of things that black students felt the college could and should do to make it a better place.
Stan, I have to ask you.
Sure.
We haven't yet mentioned one of the other students you were with, Clarence Thomas,
mm-hmm.
who, you know, many people now know Clarence Thomas for his strong stand against affirmative action. And, you know, as we obviously note, you know, he benefited from it. He was one of your fellow recruits. Have you had conversations with him about that? What's your sense of that?
We've talked over the years and, you know, basically, we agree to disagree in large part on the relevance and importance of affirmative action. You know, I contend that Clarence bases his premise on the fact that the world is perfectly round. In my view, the world's not perfectly round, so you can't start with that premise, and therefore, there are needs to kind of equalize or stabilize things, and affirmative action is one of those tools that was created to do that.
You know, one thing that's interesting, when I spoke to Justice Thomas about his experience at Yale versus his experience at Holy Cross, at Holy Cross, he never felt that people questioned his intelligence, that they questioned his right to be there, and that he clearly would have gotten in on his own merits. He was a member of the equivalent of the Honors Society. And when he got to Yale, he felt that it was very much a case where he was diminished in the eyes of his fellow students. And then when you fast forward to what he thinks happened in the years after, he talks about the sheer volume of people trying to get minority students on campus, that he felt students that were being brought into places where they couldn't cut it. That's the view that he has today in terms of why he thinks affirmative action overall has been demeaning to minorities and has not worked.
And just to quickly note, Clarence Thomas, as a student, showed some of these signs of, you know, maybe perhaps a contrarian view. You know, when you were in school, he was sort of the debater, the person who wanted to, you know, be on the other side of something just to see what would happen.
No question. He liked the lively conversation. He liked the lively discussion, and often would go out of his way to sort of engage others in a discussion by taking a what I would call a contrary position on a given subject.
And then there was Ted Wells, became a lawyer, as we said, represented Scooter Libby, you know, kind of a famous client. You, as we said, worked for the City of New York and also one of the country's oldest minority-owned investment banks. Edward Jones wrote the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Known World. Some have died, but those who are living, have you stayed in touch?
I'm in touch with all of those. 4 years in college together, and particularly at Holy Cross, I think has created a bond that, you know, even my kids marvel at the relationship and the bond that I have and or we all have with each other.
Well, and it's because of one man, Father John Brooks. That's Stan Grayson in 1968. He was one of the first black students recruited to Holy Cross by Father Brooks. Diane Brady's book that tells of that time is called Fraternity. Father Brooks died this week at 88. Still to come today, the bestseller Savages hits the big screen, and the latest news is next, here and now.
Support for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced, by Harvard University, whose Harvard Extension School has online and on-campus courses for students around the world, extension.harvard.edu. And by the Institute of Contemporary Art, featuring the glass sculptures of Josiah McElhaney, on view now through October 14th, icaboston.org.